Okay, last week we got down to the last verse of chapter 7. And we know what happened last week. We was in the beginning of the day, Haman was going to the king, that this was the day that the gallows had been built the night before. This was the day that he's going to ask for Haman to be hanged on the gallows. And he didn't know it, but the king could not sleep that night. And then we know that the king could have done all kind of things to go to sleep that night, but he did not. Calls for the chronicles. This happens to open to the peace, and Mordecai was never honored. He'd saved his life. He saved the king's life from being taken. This king will be assassinated in 464 BC. That's how his life is ended. So there was a lot of people. He made a lot of enemies. And then they go to the banquet, and Esther tells the king just exactly what Haman had in mind, and that she would be part of the ones that would be destroyed. So we know he gives his servants the order. The servants knew already what to do with Haman. But in the last verse, the last word of chapter 10, it says, then was the king's wrath pacified. He's okay. He's back to normal again. He saved his queen. But has that changed the decree that went out a few months ago? No. Did not change that. Was Esther safe? But do you think somebody would have came and killed the queen?
Well, they came and killed the king.
That's right. Later. And if they was going to kill Esther, they would have to kill the king too. Because the king wasn't going to let anybody harm Esther. And you're right. Somebody could have done that because she was a Jew. But I think she kind of lived in a protected area too. So anyway, he's pacified. And look what he did in verse 1 of chapter 8. On that very, that was a very important, look at all the events that happened that day. Haman going to the king, going to the feast, Haman being given the order to go out and hang. And it says, on that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, and Esther had told what he was to her. Mordecai had just been honored because a few years ago he saved the king's life. Now the story's coming out. Esther and Mordecai are cousins, okay? The story's coming out. Who's working in all this? God's working in all this. Verse 2, the king takes the ring which he had taken from Haman. I guess Haman was wearing the ring of the king, and I guess when he went to the gallows, the king took it back, didn't he? He took that ring back, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther sets Mordecai over the house of Haman. So all's well, I guess the king thinks. But look what Esther makes a request in verse 3. And Esther spake yet again before the king, fell down at his feet. Is she showing him a position of honor? Falls down at his feet, besought him with tears to put away the mischief that Haman, the decree is still there. What did that decree say? Kill all the Jews. That anybody from Ethiopia to India had the government's authority to kill the Jews, and what else? Take all of their properties. Jeremiah, before they went into captivity, told them that they'd be there, the Jews would be in captivity for 70 years. And Jeremiah says, Mary, do your business there. You're going to prosper. Many Jews prosper in Babylonia. That was back in 606. We're now in about 472. But anyway, besought him with tears to put away the mischief that Haman and his device that he had devised against the Jews. That's in verse 3. Verse 4, the king holds out the golden sepulcher. You know, here again, Esther's, we've saw before when Mordecai says, Esther, you got to go talk to the king. And Esther says, it's been 30 days. This, she's the queen. She says, it's been 30 days since I've seen the king, and if you go in unannounced and he doesn't hold the sepulcher out, he's got the guards with the big axes, and they take off your head, okay? So he holds it out. In verse 5, she says, if it pleased the king, if I had found favor in his sight and the thing seemed right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes. Does she know if she's pleasing in his eyes? Yeah. Isn't that the reason that she's the queen? Because she was pleasing in his eyes. But look at the humility that she shows there. Let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which is in all the provinces. In verse 6, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Haman, and we said before, Satan was behind this. Haman was setting out to destroy all the Jews. Satan's behind it because what does Satan know is going to happen over there in Genesis 3:15? The seed of woman is going to destroy the devil. And it's going to come through the Jews. And we know it's going to come through the Jews too, okay? We have prophecies on that. If he can destroy all the Jews, then Christ's never going to come. We're never going to have a redeemer. Satan has won, okay? And then it says, the king said to Esther the queen, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman and him that have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand on the Jews. Verse 8, write it also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring for the writing which is written in the king's name and seal with the king's ring that no man may reverse. Okay, then in verse 9, if we get down, it tells in the beginning part of it what year and what month everything is, and we get down to the middle part of it, and it says, and it was written according to all that Mordecai, who's in charge now? Who's in second in command? Mordecai is. Mordecai the Jew. Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants. Listen, the lieutenants, the deputies, the rulers of the provinces. These are the people that's in charge with keeping the king's laws, keeping order. They're the officials. They'd be the police chief, the state police, the mayor, all these people, deputies and rulers of the provinces which are from India and Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language. It's going to be in different languages. Nobody from Ethiopia to India will misunderstand what this edict is. And to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And then in verse 10, they send it out on horseback, on camels, on donkeys, on mules. And look at verse 11. Should the Jews, should they be staying in their isolated houses? Or when the day comes, look what he talks about in verse 11. Wherefore the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and provinces that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Could anybody misunderstand the power that the Jews will have to defend themselves? I'm sure, you know, people write decrees today, but, you know, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish. If those wicked people decide that they're going to follow the first edict that was written about 2 months ago, the Jews have a right to take their life. Now, was Haman the only one that hated the Jews? Was the hatred widespread?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with you. And how do we know that?
Because of how many people killed those other Jews.
How many did the Jews kill from Ethiopia to India. We'll get to it later. 75,000 people. Okay? So if there's 127 provinces, take 75,000 to divide it by 127. If we divide it by 100, you're going to have about 750 people per province, you know? That's a lot of people, okay? But there was a lot of people that even though the second decree goes out, the people that come to destroy the Jews following the first decree, they also knew about the second decree, okay? If you get an official document, you get an official document from the government that says you have a right to do this, and then 2 months later you get another one that says the opposite, what do you think you're going to do if you got any sense? Doesn't the second one supersede the first one, Mike? Yeah.
And it should, because, you know, like you said there in verse 8, that in the chapter, that still the king's reign cannot be revoked. But in chapter 3, Haman's thing was still for the king's state reign, too.
Yeah.
Well,
they had, there was two laws, but they are saying two different things, right? Yeah, one says you can kill the Jews and take all their possessions. The other says the Jews can defend themselves and slay all the people that come to destroy them, right? But one comes after the other. And I realized the law of the Medes and Persians, we saw that over the Cyrus when Daniel went to the lion's den. We saw that he said, I'm sorry, you know, so many words, Daniel, I'm sorry, I was snookered on this, but I signed this thing, and you got to go to the lion's den. That shows even though there's a law, there's also a moral law, is there not? The king back then should have said, Cyrus should have said, there's a moral law, and that law I signed was wrong, and there's a moral law. There's a moral law above all laws, right? Oh yeah. The hatred, that's right.
There would have been a lot more people going after the Jews because they were defenseless. They thought, well, this will be easy pickings. But since the second law has passed, some of those people, they still hate the Jews, but they think, wait a second, this is probably going to cost me something.
They can defend themselves now.
Yes, I hate them, but I'm not going to.
And I will get skip ahead. Look at verse 3 of chapter 9. When this day comes, and all the rulers of the provinces, and the lieutenants, and the deputies, and officers of the king, these are the official people that's going to keep the law, okay? Helped the Jews because of the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. So the government officials in all these 127 provinces, did they realize which was the decree they was going to follow? Yeah, they didn't. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. The king, you know, I was going to point this out. We'll do it this week. We talked about that one day, how everything changed on that one day. Haman going to the king, Haman on the gallows. The king writing this new decree. If you're in the city, Shushan, the next couple of days, you're in the city and you're having coffee with somebody, you're having lunch with somebody, and someone's going to say, what in the world is going on here? Haman, who was second to the king, was hung. Mordecai, who's a Jew, who the decree went out to kill all the Jews, he's now in second in command. He's replaced Haman. Haman was second in command. Mordecai's a Jew. Here's this one decree that came out 2 months ago. Here's this new decree that came out. Who is in control around this place? Would that not what you say? If you went out to lunch somebody a few days after all this? What is going on? Okay? And we said before, the king really doesn't care about the people in his kingdom. He just wants to be king. Danny. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they
I'm reading a book about the D-Day landing and about all the planning that went in effect by the Allies in England. All the models they set up, they lost, you didn't know at this time, they had accidents when they was invading England, practicing for the invasion, that they lost, they could have lost 100 men and 200 men in rehearsing. And what Eisenhower said was, we've got this great plan, and that plan is good plan until you land on the beach. When you land on the beach, the plan goes away. You kind of got an overall plan, but like Danny said, generals got orders, but when the thing, events in the field changes, if you got good leaders, they're going to make changes to the plan. Yeah.
Way back in chapter 3, you talk about, you know, the reaction of people. Way back at the close of chapter 3, this is after Haman and the king sit down and drink, and it says a statement's made, and the city of Susa was in confusion. And that's the first
D-Day. That's the first D-Day. Now where we are now, yeah. Remember, and Mordecai, remember Haman, if you're there in the city having lunch with somebody, and Haman's, who's leading Mordecai through the city?
Haman.
And that night he's dead. Okay? Who's in control here? Now, look down here at verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white and with a great crown of gold and with a garment of fine linen and purple, in the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Does he have the king's robes on? Does he have the king's ring? Does he have the king's crown? A few months ago, when this edict comes out, what was Mordecai wearing and what was Mordecai doing? Mourning. How quickly it changed. Who's in control? God's in control. Okay? Mourning, sackcloth, fasting, because he wanted to make sure that God was going to follow through and do what he should do. Didn't know how it was going to happen. He's rejoicing now. He's probably eating and drinking and rejoicing. Look at verse 16. Yeah. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor in every province, in every city, wheresoever this king's commandment and his decree came. The Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. My friend Joseph sometimes will say, how's things going? And he'll say, good. It's a good day, you know? And it's interesting. He means things are great, but it's a good day. And listen to this. Look at the reaction of the people in these provinces. And many of the whole people of the land became Jews. They became proselytes. They became Jews, for their fear of the Jews fell upon them. Remember in Egypt, did all the people that left Egypt, was they all of Jewish descent? It says a mixed multitude went out with them. Could the people in Egypt that saw all those plagues, could they not realize who was behind the plagues? God was behind the plagues. Okay? Could they see that in the land of Goshen, some of the plagues, a lot of the plagues did not affect the Israelites, but affected the Egyptians? Yeah, they saw that. They're being, God's blessing them. God's powerful. Okay, so we see this thing here. Verse 1 of chapter 9. And that the 12th month, that is the month Adar, and the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put into execution, and the day that the enemies of the Jews hope, there's a lot of enemies here, hope to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in all the cities throughout the provinces. And then the last part of verse 2, it says, no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. Who's behind that? God. Can God cause fear to come to the enemies of him? Yeah. God can do all that. And I think down through, and it might be hard to say in history when things have happened, but I think even in things that have happened when great armies have gone against each other, that God, looking back, you can see that God, for whatever reason, fell apart. Go back to the D-Day landing. You know, the Germans had tanks ready to go on the shores, but they couldn't get an order. Hitler had given them distinct orders not to do anything until he gave them the order, and he was asleep that morning, so he couldn't give them the order. They was waiting on Hitler. Was God involved? I don't know if God was involved in that, but he could have been, couldn't he? Those type of things. And we talked about verse 3. Look at verse 4. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out through all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Who has put him in that position? God has put him in that position. Verse 5, the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction when they would, what they would unto those that hated them. Verse 6, 500 people were slain in the capital city. Verses 7 and 9, that's the 10 sons of Haman. Let me ask you, was the 10 sons of Haman involved in trying to kill the Jews here? What happens to them? They get killed. Do you think they held a grudge against Mordecai? You think they held a grudge against Esther? Yeah. Their father's gone. Had their standard of living changed? Yeah, he was second in command. Yeah, their standard of living has changed. I don't know all about it, but yeah, they've had a big change. And it says in verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of whoever, the enemy of the Jews slew many, but on the spoil, okay, listen to this, on the spoil laid they not their hand. What did the decree tell the Jews? They could take the lives of the people that came against them, but also what could they do?
Take their property.
But what did they do in verse 10? They didn't take their property. At least three times it says they did not take the property that they was entitled to. Why?
I think they're trying to make a distinction. These people wanted to kill us and take our property, and that may have been a part of it, but that's not why we're doing this. We're doing this
to protect our lives. It would not be right for them. What could other people say in the provinces if the Jews had taken their property? The decree said they could. If they had taken their property, what could other people in the provinces that were not Israelites say about the Israelites? They prospered. They was doing it because they was prospering. Okay? That was not the reason they was killing these people. They was doing this in self-defense. That's why they was doing this. If someone comes to take your life, you have a right to defend yourself. Someone breaks into your house, I think you have a right. You don't have to ask questions. If someone breaks in your house and you shoot them, they are somewhere where they should not be. Now, after it comes out, maybe they had mental problems. I don't know. But you don't know that. I believe you have self-defense. These Jews had self-defense, but they did not take those things. But anyway, I was going to say something else, but I don't need to. But anyway, let's finish here. Verse 13. And then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan on the morrow. In other words, evidently there's going to be some attacks on the next day. And Esther asked the queen, can we defend ourselves the next day? And of course, he gives them the information. He gives them the permission to do that. In verse 15, at the end of verse 15, it says, on the prey they laid not their hand. Just want to point out, that's the second time. It's written here for us to not miss the point that they wasn't doing it to take the spoil. They was doing it to defend. It's here again. Verse 16, but the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000, and they laid not their hands on the prey. That's important. God wants us to, when God says something two or three times, he wants us to know it, and that's what he's doing here. And like David said, that was 75,000 that attacked them. And there probably was another great number that didn't attack them because of the second decree. So there was hatred. There was those people in the provinces that would accept Haman's decree and would want to carry that through.
I think it says something too about the 75,000 or maybe more that did still follow through. I mean, their hatred must have been like waxed strong, like the Bible says. Mm-hmm. These people were determined they were going to do this in spite of the fact that they knew what the Jews were doing.
And they had spoil, right? They had possessions. Today, in our country, if a decree came out that one, no matter what nationality we would have in our country, if a decree came out that it would be okay to kill that nationality and take their possessions, would there be people that would do that? Yeah, there would be. Yes, there would be. And they would say, I got a paper from the government and it gives me the right to do that. So this is not strange, is what's happening here. People are the same through history, okay?
David?
Yes.
Do you think the reason that they hanged Haman shouldn't have done on the gallows if they deserved also?
Yeah, because I think he wanted vengeance. Mordecai and Esther killed his dad. And they don't care that the decree that he sent out to kill all the Jews, they want revenge. These days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, in every family, in every province, and every city. It's pretty clear here that they should keep this every year. And then the last part of verse 28, it says, among the Jews, nor the memorial them perish from their seed. We go on down through. But look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10. Well, I mentioned, okay. The gladness that the Jews had. Turn to Psalms, the 30th chapter. David writes this, and I'm sure it affected, it was in David's life. But Psalms 30, verses 11 through the end of the chapter, it's two verses that is very appropriate for what is happening here. The first decree was written, the Jews and all the provinces was weeping and mourning and fasting. Look at the description of verse 11 talking about God. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Would that not be appropriate? My mourning into dancing, my sackcloth over here into gladness. This is exactly, these two verses is exactly applying to this time in Esther. And just as David gave God the praise, when they're rejoicing and feasting, who are they praising? Today, when they keep Purim and they do the feasting and they give the gifts and they give the gladness, who are they praising? God. Okay? And we need to be in the same frame of mind too. Chapter 10. It's interesting. After all these things go over, look what the king does. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. What's he want? Wants money, doesn't he? He's laying a tribute, a tax, in all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was great unto the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. Do we ever know what happened to Esther and Mordecai? Does the Bible tell us anything about them after this? Don't know a thing about them, whatever happened. What I wanted to point out, because I want a few more minutes here. The whole thing, as we've said before, God is not meant, the name of God is not in this book. But God's handiwork and God's providence and God's working is throughout the whole book. We should remember that. Just as the way God works back at this time, he works today in the same manner. Okay? And sometimes we don't know when we're in the midst of it, we don't know what's being worked out, if it's God's plan or who's ever planned. But he does work there. Also, as we studied Daniel before this, and this time we studied, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. You know, the Jews went in captivity three times, but the first time was in 606 B.C. They was there 70 years, and we saw over there in the book of Ezra that Cyrus lets them go back in 536. Okay? What is interesting as we study all these books at this time, is there an Israelite close to these kings? Was an Israelite close to Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel, right? And then after Nebuchadnezzar was gone, it seems like he kind of fades into the whatever there. And then Belshazzar that night, the handwriting's on the wall, and they get the old man Daniel, you know, and he comes and interprets what the words are. And the king says, "You can have all this, but, you know, that's at night." And the next morning, he's dead, and the kingdom is owned by somebody else. So what good is there having a kingdom if it's taken away the next morning, okay? And then, you know, then he rises in the power to be close to Cyrus, and we see the decree being given. Then we see Cyrus telling them they can go back, and it took them about 20 years to build the temple. This king here lived between 486, was when he became the king, and he died in 464 on a coup, an assassination. That was 22 years. I wonder when there was the coup, what happened to Esther and what happened to Mordecai? Don't know. But from what he sees, putting Mordecai in second in command from 472 to 464, Mordecai was an Israelite. Mordecai and Esther was close to the king, right? For those years, they was close. I mean, Esther's the queen, and Mordecai is the second in command. They would be close to the king. Ezra goes back to, we talked about this, goes back to Jerusalem in 457 B.C., Also, when we look over there with Ezra and Nehemiah, was there problems with people that lived in the land of Canaan? Was there people that lived in the land of Canaan that threatened the Israelites? Did they? And we go back to Ezra, I think the fifth chapter or something. They're writing letters. There's Jews, there's people around Jerusalem, Tobiah, and who's the other guy? Sanballat and Tobiah, and one was an Arabian, and they told the Israelites, they told Nehemiah, "We're going to come and slit your throats at night." There was people that didn't want to. Okay, that's happening in 444. Also, Ezra and Nehemiah, was they close to Artaxerxes? Artaxerxes is probably the son of this king that was assassinated in 464. Artaxerxes tells Ezra to go back, and in essence gives him a credit card, right? Whatever you need. Nehemiah goes back, and the Artaxerxes says, "Take whatever you need too. Whatever you need to build the walls, you've got to. What I want to point out sometimes is we forget how God, even in the captivity and when they went back, how God provided for his people, for the remnant. And when you think that this decree that goes out in 472, the second decree says the Jews can defend themselves, there's people in Canaan, Tobiah, Sanballat, those people, they might remember the first decree and say, you know, that's why they write letters. Remember one of the letters over in Ezra? They, They said that this Jerusalem, if you look, if you go through the history of Jerusalem, you will see that it's a wicked city. They have rebelled against kings. They didn't rebel against the Persians and the Medes and the Persians. They rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar and against Babylon. But if you go through their history, which is documented, you, and they call it a bad city. Remember that word? They said it was a bad city. But that's what these people were using in around Jerusalem to get Ahasuerus and to get Artaxerxes to issue decrees to be able to come and destroy the Jews. The decree had been written once. Why can't we do it again? But so I want to point out is the hatred that existed in the time of the Jews, of Ezra and Nehemiah, that the people had for the Jews. And also the other thing I want to point out is how God had his rulers or his people close to the king. So just think about that, how God works in the affairs of nations. The other thing I want to point out, we got 5 more minutes. We'll probably get done early. After I said we, you know, we maybe went too fast, but we'll probably get done early. The other thing I want to point out is God knows everything that goes on with each one of us. If you have a financial problem, God knows about it. If you have a health problem, God knows about it. If you have a family problem, God knows about it, okay? Now, we don't know how it's all going to end up, and we don't know why some people have health problems, and some people don't have health problems, and some people have financial problems, and some people don't have. We don't know all of that. And someone can say, well, you know, sir, a certain decree, this person has brought this stuff on themselves. And sometimes that might be true. Sometimes there's, you know, you go 90 miles an hour and you have a wreck, you know, you're probably not going to come through it. Or your life, if you do come through it, your life will be different. But sometimes bad things happen to good people. They come from Satan. That's where these come. Go look at the book of Job and what happened to Job. It was because Satan came in the presence of God, and Satan accused Job of only serving him because God blessed him. Job did not serve God because God blessed him. Okay, we see that in the book of Job. Job's three friends come. They were no help to Job at all. His three friends, they had their minds made up. They thought they knew everything. They said, Job, you're evil, you're wicked. Job knew himself. Job hadn't done anything wickedly. Look at how he made sacrifices for his kids and everything. God had blessed him. So that's the one thing we take out of this lesson, of this series here, is that God knows everything about us. And sometimes it's hard. When you're going through trials, is it hard to think that God knows what's going on? So we just need to remember that. I think we need to pray for our leaders. Our leaders of this country need to pray for other leaders of other countries, you know. We need to pray. I mean, in this country right now, it is unbelievable the hatred people has for the Word of God. I saw yesterday or today, there's a judge that's going to be appointed up in Minnesota, Milwaukee, whatever. He referenced a ruling that Scalia had, and our Supreme Court judge referenced a ruling on the rights, I guess, of gays and lesbians. He just made reference. He didn't give us, but he's a man of faith, and they're doing everything they can to not have him appointed as a judge because he won't have an open mind if a case comes before him. Well, you know, we need to look at this book. And we got to be careful saying we have an opinion about something. If it's in the book, we just let the book say what it is, and that's all we have to say. But things are, Bob Dylan had a song, things are changing. Back in the 60s. Things are changing. And we better make sure that our kids know what's in this book, because that's what's going to judge us on the day of judgment. So I want to thank you for being here all the time and for being attentive and asking good questions. And hope we got something out of these, would it have been 26 weeks, I guess? Something like that. Anyway.